Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and I'm your host for CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a membership association with over 20,000 Christians in healthcare who desire to bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world through hearts being changed in healthcare by the transforming power of the gospel. I'm so glad that you chose to join me today, and this week's program is going to be a bit different. You're going to hear a recent guest of mine on the program, Dr. Daryl Bach of Dallas Theological Seminary, actually hosting and interviewing me during a recent chapel for the students and faculty of the Dallas Seminary. Now, you may be asking, why is the CMDA Matters host himself being interviewed by a Dallas Theological Seminary professor? Well, I'm so glad you asked. The CMDA mission for many years has included advancing biblical principles of healthcare within the church to our culture and throughout the world. Well, our Board of Trustees a couple of years ago launched a brand new commission called the Church Commission of CMDA. That Church Commission is in the advanced stages of developing a bioethics curriculum that we envision being used in the churches of our members all across the United States. 3 years ago, our past president, Dr. Al Weir, he was invited to speak at an annual conference at Dallas Theological Seminary involving theologians and physicians. Well, after that experience, Dr. Weir spoke with the leadership of the seminary and then introduced me to Dr. Daryl Bach. And then out of this relationship came our very first bioethics summit on February 29th this year, just before COVID-19 started wreaking havoc for in-person meetings. We were so pleased with the results of that summit that we launched a webinar series that began on October 1st this year on the subject of the church and science in a COVID world. What you're going to hear today is the interview that I did with Dr. Bach for Dallas Theological Seminary Chapel the week of that webinar to introduce DTS to the ministry of CMDA. Dr. Bach, my interviewer today, is the Executive Director of Cultural Engagement and Senior Research Professor of New Testament Studies at Dallas Theological Seminary. He received his PhD from the University of Aberdeen in Scotland and has earned recognition as a Humboldt Scholar from Tübingen University in Germany. He's the author of more than 40 books, including bestseller Breaking the Da Vinci Code, and another book, How Would Jesus Vote? Very timely for this month. And his new release this fall entitled Cultural Intelligence. I invite you now to listen in on the conversation that I had with Dr. Daryl Bach in the first fall semester chapel sponsored by the Center for Cultural Engagement of Dallas Theological Seminary. And oh, by the way, Dr. Bach introduces me using one of my favorite aliases for the Chupp family name, and it always makes me smile.
My guest today is Mike Chupp, who is Chief Executive Officer for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Their slogan is Changing Hearts and Healthcare. We have built a relationship with Mike over the last few years. We did a conference with them. Actually, it's the last live conference we did. We did it the last week of February at Northwest Bible Church, and Mike leads a wonderful organization that he's going to talk to you about, because part of what we do in the center is we talk about the interweaving of faith and work. How does a person's faith impact where they are, the vocation that they have, the, if you will, 9-to-5 space, and how do pastors and those who are in church ministry interact with those in the business space for whom that hour is, those times are probably the least discussed times in ministry in an application. And we want you to graduate with a sensitivity to the fact this is where people spend most of their productive time. So what does it mean to be a Christian in that space? And particularly for doctors in that space, that's a very important time. So, Mike, welcome to our chapel today. It's great to see you, even though, you know, we're doing it this way, which is the new way to do things, apparently, and is the new normal. So thanks for being with us, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. Greetings from Bristol, where we know how to do trout fishing and NASCAR racing.
So, Mike, let's discuss the CMDA a little bit. What does the CMDA do?
We're an association, a professional association. The next year will be 90 years old, started by two medical students in Chicago in 1931 who were looking for fellowship. And we have about 15,000 students every month that get together on 325 campuses. So our campus ministry is a big part of who we are, but we also have 90 community ministries. We have a side-by-side group, a lot about communities and supporting communities of Christians in healthcare. About changing hearts in healthcare, and that those hearts are primarily those of us who are healthcare professionals providing care to patients.
What are some of the key issues you deal with? And then probably an addendum to that question, what has COVID introduced that you didn't used to have to talk about before?
The stresses are really high for healthcare workers. We have been working overtime with our psychiatry section, thinking about the well-being of our members, 20,000 plus members.
Before COVID, what were and what still are some of the key issues that you deal with?
Our mission is encouraging, educating, equipping Christian healthcare professionals to glorify God. And so we're all about integrating faith in medicine 24/7. So that's a big issue. We're also dealing with a lot of bioethical challenges.
So I think it'd be worth discussing, what is the connection that doctors feel to pastors and theologians? Well, why was it important? Because we have worked on building this relationship and networking with each other as theologians and pastors in training and that kind of thing with doctors and healthcare workers, et cetera. Why is that connection important to you as an organization?
In our mission statement, as part of one of those 4 points on how we believe that Christians in healthcare can glorify God, Dr. Bach, is that they advance biblical principles of healthcare within the church. And to do that, that's going to require alignment in biblical principles impacting healthcare, including bioethics. So that's going to require alignment and partnership with pastors for that to really happen. And, you know, we understand that the church is the organ, it's God's, Jesus's chosen instrument for reaching the world. And so we are a parachurch organization, but we believe in working with the church. And we formed a church commission so that we can provide what we have to the table working with you theologians and to equip the church. I was just talking to my senior vice president. He founded a home for human trafficking. And he said he encountered church after church and pastor after pastor who didn't feel comfortable with talking about human trafficking because that word sex was in it, you know, sex trafficking. And so I feel like from our side, we can encourage pastors and theologians to be willing to talk about these critical issues. And from the pastor's side, making sure that our doctrine, our interpretation of scripture is accurate. And so we desperately need the Dallas Theological Seminaries of this world to help us abide by our core value of a commitment to scripture, a commitment to the gospel. At Timmock Hospital, where I worked for 20 years as a surgeon, I had 10 pastors on staff, full-time pastors on staff. So you're talking to someone who's extremely biased about pastoral ministry. And they would round with us. And that happens in some places in the U.S. I wish it happened in more places. But I would tell my patients in Kenya, I came and I'm going to help you with this broken femur. But the reality is, this man here in the maroon jacket or woman, they have information for you that will help you long past the time when that rod in your femur and your bones are lying underground. So please, I beg you, I'm not going to charge you anything for what I do except listen to this pastor.
That's great. And of course, one of the things, and this was, of course, the conference that we did in February, was to deal with the ethical issues and dilemmas, which are not easy, that medical people face, and they often wrestle with very, very difficult questions. I think I've shared with you the one time my father-in-law, who was president of the American Medical Association, came to me for advice was a decision, an ethical decision about whether to turn off life support for his mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law, who was suffering from a stroke and at life's end. And there was a disagreement between the two doctors about what to do in that particular situation. It's the only time he's ever admitted to me that he felt ill-equipped to make a certain kind of decision. And it was an ethical decision. It had life implications tied to it. And he came to me for advice. And I'll be honest with you, I was not given a whole lot of instruction in seminary about how to handle the particular situation that he was coming up against. So the idea of doctors and theologians talking about what's going on the scientific side and what's going on the healthcare side and what's going on ethically is a combination that I think we desperately need to foster with one another. And that's obviously one of the reasons why we've done this.
And unfortunately, these days, there is a little bit on part of us as in healthcare to abdicate a little bit that responsibility because of autonomy, this whole, you know, idol of autonomy, and to abdicate that and to give it to the family with enough information we think that they can make the decision, but still, like you say, feeling ill-equipped, and pastors and physicians working together, especially those end-of-life issues, it's really important for that partnership to take place.
I have one question left I want to ask Mike, and then we'll open it up for questions both in the room and through the texting. So what is it that you feel like you can bring to us as theologians? Why is it important for pastors to connect with the doctors in their church? And usually what happens with someone who has a vocational background is the pastor connects to the business person because of what the business person can bring financially to a church, or at least oftentimes that can be the perception. But obviously we're talking about something far different than that. What do doctors offer to theologians that are important? And I think this question is particularly apropos in a COVID environment, because obviously there are some things that are unique to this situation where that relationship is important.
Excellent question, and COVID does help us with this. And for example, we worked together, we brought together a group of epidemiologists, infectious disease folks together as a panel back in June as churches began to start coming together, especially here in East Tennessee. And so they began to research the literature. This panel did, this task force, and put together some basic guidelines, which we disseminated as widely as we could get them out. And the guidelines say, we understand the priority that pastors, the shepherds have, and the flock worshipers have. And here are guidelines for how to do this while doing the best job we can of sacrificially worshiping together by wearing masks and by being careful about how we do worship music. So various churches have abided to one degree or another to our guidelines. And so just equipping, because we love the church, we love pastors, and we don't want any kind of blemish to come upon the body of Christ in this process of interacting with a culture that's skeptical/cynical about those of us who follow Christ.
Okay, I've got some questions here. How significant do you view the partnership between doctors and chaplains as they engage in healthcare? And what does that offer to the patient?
I think the relationship is so critical, and I have seen it on both sides of the pond, Dr. Bach. I mean, by me being a surgeon and having taken out an appendix or gallbladder or stabilized a fracture in a patient, the patient already has this great trusting appreciation relationship with me. But when I bring in someone, and I often would bring in my heavy hitter, her name was Helen Tongoose. She was an evangelist with a gift of evangelism. And I would bring in Helen and I would say, you know, Mr. Song or Mr. Coetch, this right now, this woman is the most important woman in the world to me as far as I'm concerned in your recovery. And just that me passing the baton, if you will, and the esteem to that pastor, that patient was listening. And the same thing is true even in the U.S. context in terms of praying with patients. I'm a big believer in praying with patients. And in my office in Michigan, we actually had volunteer lay leaders and pastors who would come and be available anytime I had a patient I just told her she's got breast cancer, she needs surgery, she's gonna need radiation. Those volunteers, we would bring them in, if the patient would allow, sometimes they wouldn't, just the esteem that I give to that lay leader, elder, or pastor, open the door for spiritual ministry to take place that day in my office.
Talk about the stresses that a medical care person undergoes, because I think the thing that I mean, I just think back to the time I had a sister-in-law who was in hospital in Parkland after a stroke, and again, back into this death edge decision. And I'm thinking about, here are people who deal with this literally on a daily basis. And to be honest with you, sometimes I think the stress of being a doctor would be terrifically intense, or at least certain types of medical care certainly would elevate that stress. Talk a little bit about what it is that a doctor goes through emotionally on a regular basis.
I don't know how many of your students or faculty are participating in the Global Leadership Summit, but year before last, Craig Groeschel was talking about this little acronym, GETMO. And it was good enough to move on. He was encouraging pastors, quit trying to be perfect. And, you know, so much ministry is lost by trying to be perfect. He said, unless you are my brain surgeon. If you're my brain surgeon, doggone it, you better be perfect. And so the group that I was with, several doctors look at each other. No wonder we're all stressed out. The whole world expects us to be perfect, and we can't. And doctors aren't perfect. I mean, we have lapses in judgment. We don't think about all the possibilities. And so the idea that you're under the stress, the watchful eye, and not having enough time to meet the demands, the needs. You know, in Kenya, I would be lucky if I would find one family member to talk to when I finished an operation. In the United States, I'm lucky if I have less than three different parties who want their own separate explanation from me of what we have done and what's going on with their loved one. So it's a lot more TLC required and expectations, and then lots of meetings. And then in the COVID, it has been trying to hit a moving target with things, recommendations changing. I haven't been in that environment, but so many have shared with me and CMDA that this has been particularly difficult to manage expectations and to do the right thing.
Here's what I think is an excellent question. How do you respond to skepticism related to the dangers that COVID poses?
It is very frustrating. A number of conservative Christians have said, as soon as the election happens, this all goes away. And I'm here to tell you that's not true at all. You know, we've lost some dear friends, some mission sending agencies, some global leaders within the CMDA, international CMDA realm have been lost to COVID. And so I think we have to keep reminding what our role. We're trusted. A lot of church pastors, even here in the Bristol area, said, I'm so glad you put out those church reopening guidelines, because it helps us with our people to emphasize this is not a scam, but this is real. And I was just with an infectious disease doctor from the University of Michigan last week, who was on the front lines in Michigan when COVID hit. And he said, Mike, people say this is the flu. I saw the first x-rays coming out. This is not the flu. This is bad. This is like drug addicts with septic clots going to the lungs. It is not the flu.
I take it that the actual medical impact of having the disease has to do with inflammation across the circulatory system and that kind of thing, which is where the challenge is for caring
right.
for it.
Yeah, and we don't understand everything about it, and I don't understand as much as some of our pathophysiologists, epidemiologists understand, but my understanding, there's this threshold, and why we have so many people who are asymptomatic. There's this immune threshold that keeps the coronavirus, the SARS-2, at bay, but if that breaks down, the illness escalates very quickly. It's a super hyperinflammatory condition that impacts the lungs primarily. Yes.
This is actually one of the ways that we serve you all is to make sure that what you say to us gets translated in a way that a person who doesn't have medical technical expertise can understand and grasp.
Guilty as charged. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Bond.
Yeah. Well, I got one more question here that snuck in just under the wire. How can pastors best support stateside medical professionals currently in our churches? What's the best thing we can do for doctors?
I think don't lose track of us, because there are periods of time when we will go off the radar because of schedules, and just to be checking in and also not to expect too much in terms of church leadership. And I have to be a little bit careful about this because, I mean, I've just been asked recently to become elder in my church, and I've had to weigh the responsibilities and the schedules and so forth. But I would say be gracious in your expectations for healthcare professionals and understand that there is a lot of stress, and have lots of prayer for our members, for Christians in healthcare. So help provide advice, counsel, listen, coaching for those. And we also have encourage your healthcare professionals. We are working on a new iteration of our Grace Prescriptions curriculum. It's a teaching curriculum that maybe a pastor would want to walk through with your healthcare professionals in their church on how to raise faith flags, how to respectfully tell faith stories in your office and on the wards, how to introduce prayer to patients. And that's actually the module that I'm going to be teaching. We're going to release this next April. It's a third iteration of this video teaching series.
Let me close this in a word of prayer. And I do thank you for taking the time to be with us. Let's thank Dr. Chubb for being with us. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for the way in which you've designed us, because we're made in your image to care for one another. And that's particularly true of people in the medical profession who see people in all kinds of conditions and all kinds of situations, some desperate, some not, having to make decisions on the fly just on the basis of someone who pops into their office or shows up in an emergency room or makes a call saying, this is how I feel, what should I do? And we just pray for these medical professionals who deal with disease. We pray for the dentists as well, who care for the well-being of people's teeth and the way in which they're able to function in their lives. We pray for the nurses that are supportive of them. We pray for the chaplains who work in the hospitals. We pray for the hospital staffs that have to organize the coming and going suddenly of people in all kinds of conditions. And we just pray for your leading and guidance of them. We pray for the spiritual well-being of these caregivers. We just pray that your presence would encourage them. And then those doctors who perhaps don't know you and aren't close to you might come across someone who is, and who might be drawn to a different way of thinking about life as a result. We thank you for the Christian Medical and Dental Associations and for their work and for the work that we are doing with them. We pray that this time has been an encouragement to hear what's going on in a segment of our society. And we pray that you might make us wise in how we deal with the realities that are around us, including the way in which to care for the presence of COVID in our midst. And we just thank you now and ask for your leading and guidance in the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Dr. Jeff Barrows, the Senior Vice President for Bioethics and Public Policy. And I just wanted to let you know that recently we had some great news from Washington on caring for vulnerable newborns. On September 25th, President Donald Trump issued an executive order on protecting vulnerable newborn and infant children. The executive order responds to concerns that hospitals have refused to provide medical screening and stabilizing treatment to vulnerable newborns, including those who are premature, born with disabilities, or born in medical distress. The executive order explains that hospitals in the past may have issued these refusals because they believe these infants may not survive, may have to live with long-term disabilities, or may have a quality of life deemed to be inadequate. The executive order, among other things, clarifies that the hospital may not unlawfully discourage parents from seeking medical treatment for their infant child solely because of their infant child's disability, and must allow the infant patients to be transferred to a more suitable facility if appropriate treatment is not possible at the initial location. For more on this encouraging development, visit our Freedom to Care blog site at freedomtocare.blogspot.com. That's freedom, the number two, care.blogspot.com. To make these protections for newborns permanent, regardless of administrations, you can urge your lawmakers to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. You'll find an easy 30-second form you can use to contact your lawmaker on this bill at votervoice.net F2C campaigns. That's votervoice.net/F2C/campaigns. On that site, you can also register to vote and find out who your candidates are for the coming election. Please continue to pray for our country that we would build a culture of life.
Well, one of the silver linings to this COVID cloud is that you can attend virtual conferences sponsored by CMDA area and regional ministries across the nation from anywhere in the nation. Just go to cmda.org/events, and there you will discover the Emerging Leaders in Dentistry Conference coming up Saturday, October 31st. The theme this year is Full Joy, Finding It, Living It, and Sharing It. There will be two identical conferences to choose from, one at 9 a.m. and the other at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Both conferences feature 15 knowledgeable dentists and an opportunity for a Q&A discussion. This conference is free to our dental student members. A second virtual event sponsored by CMDA Midwest Region is also on Saturday, October 31st, with special guest Reverend Andrew Walker, who's author of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity? A very hot, controversial topic right now, so you won't want to miss it on the events page. And then a third opportunity will be a special presentation sponsored by our Triangle CMDA chapter in Raleigh, North Carolina, with Dr. Lance Plyler on November 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Plyler will be telling the story of confronting COVID in New York City, scenes from the front lines. Dr. Plyler is the director for World Medical Mission and will share his testimony about being in the center of that storm, setting up a mobile hospital, and caring for the victims of COVID. Dr. Plyler will be interviewed by his son, Jonathan, who just happens to be a fourth-year med student at UNC Chapel Hill. You won't want to miss it. So check out all of these events and others on cmda.org/events. As I close, the partnership of healthcare professionals and pastors, as well as other church leaders, is so vital for those of us who diligently follow Christ in medicine and dentistry and many other healthcare specialties. We know that being well-equipped to integrate your faith into your practice, it highly matters to you, because changing hearts in healthcare, starting with your own heart, matters to you. And as I remind you every week, what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for listening today. We will be back next week, God willing, and I have a special guest, Kim Colby, from the Christian Legal Society, telling us about a welcome reprieve for religious liberty at public universities for Christian groups like our CMDA student chapters on 325 campuses. You won't want to miss it.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.